This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
How bad do you want to get out of this football hell?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is. Is every Monday a reaction Monday?
Hell, it could be. It can be.
Nobody's paying for it to be.
Well, I think it... Well, yeah, it's a good point. Somebody pays for it, it can be. Well, hell, it's another Monday, y'all. We're here, and we are rocking and rolling. Hey, the Odyssey app. Make sure that you are listening via the Odyssey app. You missed out on the contest. It ended on February 3rd, but you can still download the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Keep us on your hip and take us everywhere you go. By the way, again this week, it is Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo time of year, y'all. It's right around the corner. And we got tickets. We got tickets once again. I think it's we got Zach Top and John Pardee tickets tomorrow. And then Thursday is all Zach Top. I'm telling you, Zach Top is one of the hottest, if not the hottest, young up-and-coming solo artist. That ticket is going to be hard to come by, and we've got plenty for you. We'll be giving those tickets away every Tuesday, Thursday, in from 6 a. to 6 p. twice per show. On this show, we do it in the 3 o'clock hour and the 5 o'clock hour, so make sure you stay plugged in. It's one of them tickety Tuesdays. It's just Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo tickety Tuesdays here on The Drive. We'll be doing that tomorrow. The other shows will be doing it as well. Also, we got Sean Pendergast coming up here at the end of this hour. I believe it's 4:40, right? Isn't that right, Ron?
4:40.
Sean Pendergast coming straight out of West Palm Beach. He is boots on the ground at Astros spring training. The game today was canceled, but the guys did work a little bit, and Sean is actually out there boots on the ground. So we'll get the fresh perspective of what's going on in Astros training camp, spring training, I'm sorry. We'll do that at 4:40. Now, one thing that I find interesting, and again, I always say this, I don't know, Ron, if this has always been the deal or if it's I'm just aware of it now because I'm in the game, in the business, but it seems to me like if you're a quarterback needy football team, it seems to me that if you are locked and loaded, if you're ready to commit to somebody, and I'm talking about somebody with pelts on the wall, if you want to go that route, it seems like every year there's a guy that's won a Super Bowl, there's a guy that's one of the best in the game, there's a guy that's playing at an MVP level, one of those guys comes available. 2 years ago, it was Aaron Rodgers. Last year, I know Russell Wilson was not the Russell Wilson that won the Super Bowl, but Denver Broncos cut him loose, and Pittsburgh ends up getting him. This year, there may have been another one last year, but I'm not 100% sure. But this year, it's a guy that I believe there's several teams out there should be fighting over him. Matthew Stafford, Highland Park, Texas, Dallas area kid out of Georgia, number one overall pick by the Detroit Lions back in 2009? right? 2009.
He is somebody, Clint, that I don't like to look at his age because he makes me feel really
old. Yeah, 37 years old?
Is that what he is?
You're older than him. He's 37 years old, 16 years in the NFL.
He's been in the league 16 years.
Hell, he's been with the Rams since 2021.
I can see Georgia Auburn in that blackout and NoSean Moreno just shaking somebody's draws against Auburn to get into the end zone. That feels like it was like yesterday.
Yeah. Well, the Rams have apparently given him and his representation permission to test the market, which I don't know exactly. You can define test the market. I don't care how you slice it. That just gives him permission to go flirt with other teams, and it screams that we're not real committed to Matthew Stafford. In fact,
that's test the market that followed maybe a trade to the Giants.
Come on,
that
man.
Followed maybe a trade to somewhere else. So it feels like this is more than just smoke.
By the way, is Matthew Stafford a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I think so now.
Right.
Yeah,
here's the deal. Super Bowl.
His numbers were always nuts.
Yep.
And now he had the playoff run in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl champion back in, what was it, 21? Yeah, we went with the first year with the Rams, right?
Yep.
Super Bowl champion. He is top 10 all times in attempts, completions, yards, and touchdowns. He's sixth all time in NFL history passing yards per game. So he's done it a long time and averaged as many yards as all but five other quarterbacks in NFL history. And he's the fastest quarterback to 40,000 yards in his career in terms of passing. I know Matthew Stafford's 37 years old, Ron, but Matthew Stafford's still playing. I mean, he's at the top of his game. I mean, I'm sure if you're a Matthew Stafford, if you're a historian, I'm sure you can find spots in his game where he's not moving quite as well or the arm isn't what it used to be. He's still one of the top five, I would say top five elite arms in the league. When it comes to arm talent, arm strength, when it comes to the ability to drive the football down the field, make all the throws, whether it's off platform or not, whether he's getting his body and weight transfer into it or he's throwing off his back foot, Matthew Stafford is still one of the top arms in this league, and he's still getting it done. What was he, a fourth and long away last year from going to another an NFC championship? Or was that, no, in the Super Bowl? No, it was the Eagles, though. It went to the NFC championship.
NFC championship game, yeah. No, and you know, he had some injuries here, but, yeah, it is surprising. I don't look at him and feel like he has slowed down so much so that it's time to make a move. But we know Sean's not afraid to get off of this thing, right? Yeah. Like, he got off of Jared Goff when he felt like it was time to move on from him. He'll do it here. But it does feel like we're a year early, potentially, with Matt Stafford, at least from us. And that's why it does make me like Sean McVay is somebody you do look at and you're like, hey, man, he ain't no idiot. Like, what's he seeing?
Yeah. Well, I think he sees that 50, what is it, 57?
I think it's the money.
He's due $50-plus million this year. And so I don't know if they're trying to move him while he still has a little bit of value and avoid paying 50-some-odd million. Because don't forget that Aaron Rodgers is out there, a West Coast kid that I could see them. I think Aaron Rodgers is one of those situations that Russell Wilson was in last year where a team can sign him and it ultimately, whatever they pay him, it offsets what was left from the Jets contract. I think, I'm not positive, but if that is the case, if you can go get Aaron Rodgers for next to nothing and get whatever draft capital and whatever you can get in return for Matthew Stafford, I don't know that it's a crazy move given Matthew Stafford's 37 years old. So
the trade from the Aaron we've been watching. Trade that off. Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah, well that's where I was going. Here's the other deal is the thing with Matthew Stafford in terms of him going somewhere else, the value is totally different because he doesn't come with that reputation or that stick that Aaron Rodgers comes with, right? That stench, if you will, that folks just can't seem to shake. Like he's crystal clean. With other than his old lady, maybe talking about smashing the backup third string quarterback in college or something. That gal right there. Other than that, I mean, he's still playing really, really, really good football. Ron, I'm going to be honest with you, man. And I was reading up on this morning. If Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, if this is real and he's on the block, if Mike Tomlin and the Steelers don't make this happen, they're not serious about winning football games.
Unless their game plan is, all right, we're gonna try to do something to get up to get one of those young guys and really start completely, like, try to get a young quarterback. Yeah. We're gonna try to get Cam or Shadur. But if they are in the mindset of, all right, we're trying to win now and we're trying to find a veteran to lead it, that would make the most sense. That would make the most sense over, I guess, unless Sam Darnold's available, or maybe they feel like that is something they would want to do. But he would make the most sense if they are going the route that they have tried to go here.
I mean, Ron, you just think they're a 500 football team. Like, again, Mike, we talk about it a lot here with the Texans. Like, D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio have done, you know, what I think is the end game anyway, similar to what Mike Tomlin's done. Like, as long as Mike Tomlin's the coach, they're going to be a 500 football team. They're going to be in that 8-9-10 win range. And they're going to be a pretty good football team. Are there going to be years in between there where they can jump and maybe win the division or be more competitive within the division and make a run in the playoffs? I think Matthew Stafford gives you a real chance. I mean, you're talking about a division with horses at quarterback position that you just ain't going to beat with old Duck Hodges. I know he landed Laney Wilson, who got engaged, by the way. But I mean, you ain't Hodges you. You just ain't gonna compete. You just ain't gonna compete with Doug now. I mean with Duck now. That just ain't gonna be the deal.
They definitely have to be in it if they are going that route. So if you look at Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh were to get Matt Stafford, to you, Pittsburgh becomes what? If they made moves and traded, do what they need to do to get Matthew Stafford, Pittsburgh becomes what?
Well, I think you got a legit shot. I think you got a legit shot to compete in that division and definitely be a playoff contending football team. Without him, you don't. Without him, you're not going to sniff the division.
Because they contended and made the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. With and Russell and the combination.
I think you're a threat. I think you're a legit threat with Matthew Stafford. I mean, you're a problem. You're a problem with defense.
There with Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City, or do you have him where the Texans are? Where would you view the Steelers if they had Stafford?
Yeah, I would probably put them above the Texans, but I don't know that I wouldn't be real bold and say that they're out that they would they're be in, they would be in that. In
so you'd
that.
Have them in the second tier, maybe the top of the second tier.
Yes, yeah, I think Matthew Stafford pushes you there immediately. Yeah, I think he does. And if he gets hot at the right time, he's a guy that can take you all the way. I mean, he's a guy that could literally win games for you down the stretch. And again, you don't have to look any further. I know he's getting older, but you don't have to look any further than last year. Against the Eagles. I mean, look, the Eagles, I'm on record, the Eagles tried to give it to them. I mean, the Eagles did not play great football, but Matthew Stafford damn near brought them back multiple times, and if it wasn't for a fourth and long, could have ended up taking his team to the NFC Championship.
Great, his game against the Bills last year, he was dominant. So, yeah, he had a good run.
Hey, I just think it's interesting. Again, it's really cool to watch the NFL with these caliber quarterbacks become available, man. I know it wasn't the sexiest, but what Baker's been able to do in Tampa, that guy comes available, goes down there, takes over after Brady. You think it's the end of the world, and he's taking him to the playoffs a couple of years. I mean, now we're talking about Matthew Stafford, one of the best passers of the football that's in the game right now. That's wild, man. But yeah, they got her too. She's in tow, no doubt about it. Wherever he goes, you think he leaves, or you think he stays in L.A.?
I think he's going to leave L.A. I don't think he wants to. It feels like they want to.
The others,
they're hell bent on it. It seems like.
What are the other teams in it? Pittsburgh, the New York Giants, the Las Vegas Raiders.
With the Jets being this, I don't know what their quarterback situation is.
Well, I would think
if Aaron wants to. You know, Aaron Glenn wants to get going right now.
Yeah, there was a fourth team. I can't remember exactly who that fourth team was, but there was a fourth team out there for Matthew Stafford. We'll see where he ends up. That'll be interesting.
Kirk Cousins is out there too as a potential person that maybe the Rams, if they want to go real cheap, to probably pick that up too.
So, I mean, you got Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, you got Sam Darnold. I mean, these are,
that's the part for me with the Rams. I'm like, well, who are they looking to move on from him for?
Well, they got Jimmy Garoppolo as the backup out there. And then they got a little fella from Georgia that's out there too. What's his name? They won the national championship of Georgia.
Oh, do they still have him?
I think he's still on the team.
He's got a
what's his damn name, man?
It starts with an S. What's that kid's name? Come on, Tyler, you're supposed to know this. That kid's name played for Georgia.
Got in trouble in Dallas.
I can see his face right now.
Got busted up in Dallas and knocked on the wrong door. Somebody just sent it in there.
They didn't. I can't remember his name.
Good little fellas.
Damn it. I don't want to look it up. That's why I'm mad.
Well, speaking of college football, it's a good transition there. We can't think of his damn name, but we will. College football, Ron. I don't think this should surprise anybody, but for all my Longhorn fans out there, I'm a big fan of spring games. To be completely honest with you, I like when I was covering Arkansas more closely. I love to go to their spring game and watch them and figure out how the quarterbacks develop and what's the O-line look like.
Yeah, that's when you kind of find out guys like Stetson Bennett, what they look
there
like.
There you go. Stets, baby. That's him. He may be the guy that's going to take over Matthew Stafford. We'll see. But college football programs, man, they're deciding to have no spring game. And Texas, Steve Sarkisian followed suit. I think Matt Rhule was the first one to announce that they were going to have no spring game, and which is crazy because Nebraska is the school that for their spring game was filling up their stadium.
Yeah,
Nebraska had a crazy tradition.
I wonder why people aren't.
Well,
what is the deal with that?
Steve Sarkisian tried to make it about like almost like load management, and it's better for the players, and we're going to go to this NFL style mini camp, and which is cool, but I think Matt Rhule ultimately was the one that told us why. Matt Rhule came out, and I'm paraphrasing here. I did not see the transcript or anything, but. Matt Rhule came out and basically said other schools watching our spring game and knowing who to poach before the next year even starts is a problem that coaches are having to deal with, so they'd rather just cancel the game. I think that is more close.
Is that where it is? Is that why we're starting to see that?
I mean,
that?
True story, guys. Y'all didn't watch it. Arkansas's bowl game. Everybody sits out, right? I mean, everybody's transferring. Any player that's got a chance sits out, right? Understandably so. A ton of kids transferred. I think Arkansas was number one in the country in terms of guys leaving the school. They had a receiver, Ron, that I can't remember. I don't even know if he had a catch in the regular season. And he's a track kid, crazy fast. The kid catches a slant in the first half of the game and hits a seam. And everybody sees that track speed, this kid's a 100-meter, whatever state he's out of, champion kind of deal. Can't remember, Georgia or one of them. This kid's fast. But you see right there on the field in this meaningless bowl game that this kid's track speed translates to the field, untouched, to the house. Entered a transfer portal 2 days later.
Where'd he go?
I hadn't followed up. I don't know if they paid him. I don't know if we paid him or what. But somebody, there's a market for him. A meaningless bowl game, a freaking slant. The kid takes it to the house. And 2 days later, he's in the transfer portal. Had been a non-factor for a six-win football, however many games Arkansas won, six or seven, wasn't even on the field. That is how volatile, if you will, the transfer portal is and how these kids are getting poached. You can't tell me that these, because nowadays SEC Network, hell, we used to go to them. I'd go to them and play-by-play. Do the play-by-play in the booth or the color commentary in the booth.
That's a moneymaker, isn't it?
Well, yeah, for SEC Network, ain't no money. Obviously.
I'm just saying, you got to pay, like, for the fans that come out there and pay.
Oh, no, it's typically free.
Is it free? Okay.
For the fans.
Is it free? Okay, I didn't know if that was.
But I would imagine, there's some dollars. I would imagine it's probably a pretty big part of, like, the SEC package, like the revenue that you're splitting. I would imagine that goes a long way on TV in the offseason when nothing's going on, when football's not being played.
That is
a true story about how. I mean, you literally are, if you're University of Texas or you're Nebraska, anybody really, your spring game's being televised, your quarterback throws, you should be happy about this young receiver just catches a rock and takes it to the house. But the first thought you have is, damn, I hope Georgia didn't see that. Damn, I hope Bama didn't see that. I hope Texas didn't see that.
I just figured Kansas were free. I didn't think that.
No, nah, well, I can only speak for Arkansas.
Alabama was going to make some money. I don't think they were trying to get anybody to come down to ours. All right.
A hell of a deal if Nebraska's paying those guys and they're putting $80,000 in there.
All right. Coming up, I want you to chew on this through the break. If I were to say one word to describe how you would feel about this, the Texans need to bring Stephon Diggs back.
What's the one word you would use to describe the answer to that question in your mind? We'll discuss that coming up.
Diggs was open.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Sean Pendergast joining us coming up next segment at the end, the bottom of the hour. He is live at West Palm Beach. Think you got a drink in him?
I would think so, yes.
In that recliner.
I'd be highly disappointed if not. Now, Sean's been at a little local watering hole somewhere.
Right, somewhere.
Yeah. He's a local watering hole kind of guy.
He is. I saw him. He was taking off when we were in New Orleans, just finding him somewhere at some local spot.
Well, he's got to get rolling a little bit earlier than most because he's got to get in bed because he's got that early show. So he's literally the, I would say, first guy to happy hour. A couple of hours, he's gone. Yeah.
Come on, Sean.
All right, I said this on the other side, and you on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, can text in 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. If it was posed to you how important it is that Diggs is back, what's the word you would use to describe it? Pivot. Another injury is waiting to happen is what someone said, and then Ocho just made bull and the S word one. made that just one word. Your thoughts on that. Marcus Spears, NFL, ESPN on NFL Live, had his thoughts on what it should be if Diggs should return and how important he thinks that could be.
Marcus Spears, Houston doesn't have a ton of cap room. How much should they prioritize bringing back Diggs?
I think it should be a heavy priority. Tank Dell would have been that guy. Obviously, the injury history is something that you have to pay attention to. You also think about the way that Stephon Diggs plays the receiver position. A very, very coordinated wide receiver, understands routes, understands how to get in and out of breaks. And you couple that with C.J. Stroud's ability to be a precision passer, I think it's a great combination. Obviously, we know Nico Collins is the number one guy on that football team, but to have a complimentary two like a Stephon Diggs, who at one time we was in the conversation for being the best wide receiver in the NFL, I definitely think that they should explore it.
All right, listen, man, I'm a big Marcus Spears fan. I just can't get with him on this one. I think the position, another receiver, hell, maybe even two, but at the very least, another receiver is a priority for this football team. You cannot depend on when you can factor in when Tank Dell will be back, right? And as we've talked about it, after that, you're looking at John Metchie and
Xavier Hutchinson.
And I don't think you can depend on that as just being your twos and threes. So I think the position is, but I can't get with him, and I think there may be some others who believe in that too. I can't get with him though in saying that both are true, that both the position is a priority and that that player is a priority. I just don't get the feel that it's a need to have Stephon Diggs back as much as it is a need to fill that position. And I don't think both of them are needs.
No, I don't think that Stephon Diggs should be made a priority. I'll be clear. I would not mind if Stephon Diggs was back in the fold here. Obviously has great chemistry with C.J. Stroud and clearly is a good fit in that two or three role, depending on how he comes back off of this the knee injury. Like we don't know anything about that. My problem with Steph Diggs is Steph does not strike me as a guy, nor do the actions of him or the Texans last year with this contract. None of that strikes me as a guy that's all of a sudden going to make a team-friendly deal for the next two or three years. Steph Diggs strikes me as a guy that was willing to move a three-year deal into a one-year deal, get a couple of extra million on the front end of that to make it $22 million, I believe. And then the plan was for him to hit free agency. Nick Caserio all but said that when he was on Payne and Pendergast show last week. He all but said, basically, part of the plan was, or the agreement was, we're going to push all this money. We're going to take a three-year deal, turn it into a one-year deal. We're going to give you a couple extra $1 million, and then all of a sudden on the back end of it, we're going to let you test the market. We're not going to try to re-sign you. We're not going to expect you to re-sign before you're going to hit the market, see what the value is. None of that screams to me that Steph Diggs is going to give a team-friendly deal. Steph's going to go get – he wanted one more time to hit the market. Now, unfortunately, he got hurt, so it's not going to be the – it's not going to be as easy. Well, yes, it's not going to be the lick, and it's not going to be as easy as he thought it was going to be. But nonetheless, I say all that to say, if it's the right number, hey, I'm all in on Steph Diggs. But I believe at the wide receiver position, there are options, a lot of options right now in free agency for good threes or so-so twos in the wide receiver market. And you don't have to, I don't think you have to pay anywhere near what you're going to have to pay Stephon Diggs coming off of a knee injury and the year before that basically getting shown the door in Buffalo. So I think there are other options that are less expensive, and I do believe this. I think this is a position where if I'm the Texans, I would strongly consider using one of my top two draft picks to go get a wide receiver.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with that. There's a lot of options at that two / really good three wide receiver veteran, and then use a draft pick, and now you got guys that are competing. And if that draft pick hits, then you got a guy that could be a two, and whoever you paid a little bit of money to could be the three, and you got a really good situation with Tank Dell coming back at some point. Now you are absolutely loaded at the wide receiver position. I don't know that I overspend or make it a priority to overspend for Steph Diggs for any reason.
Yeah, he is still a good player, and you can see how, and I get what Marcus is talking about, Clint. You can see how his skill set and what he can do can fit with what the Texans may need on the other side of Nico Collins. But he is 31 coming off of a ACL that he played 8 games in. Coming to you, and that to me is just not priority.
Let me ask you, it sounds good coming from Spears. I get it. He watches a lot of film, and that whole crew does a lot of work behind the scenes, a lot of due diligence. But let me ask y'all, I'll ask all y'all, anybody out there, did Steph Diggs do anything last year when he was healthy where you were like, that's a difference maker? That's why you go pay $22 million to Steph Diggs. Did Steph Diggs do anything at any point last year, even remotely close to some of the stuff that you see Nico do, and you're like, damn, Nico, how'd you come back and get that ball? Damn, Nico, how'd you get open? Damn, Nico, how you so hard? How you so difficult to get on the ground? How you breaking so many tackles? Did Steph Diggs do anything in the time that he was healthy that put you in that position?
Yeah, I didn't feel like there was any moments where I remember, I agree. Like, man, that was a game changer, right? You could even see when the injury happened to Nico, it didn't, like, he didn't all of a sudden turn into that one that needed to be. Now, some will blame the scheme.
Sure, that's fine.
And blame other things. Sure,
blame the scheme. Buffalo, I mean, had their foot in the middle of his back on the way out the door, too. I mean, if you want to do that, that's fine.
Whatever. Anybody else's fingers hurt?
Yeah. It's just the reality of the situation.
Oh, how? Yep. You're right. They come back to Ohio. You've just earned extra duty as well, Stephon Diggs.
Now your back's going to hurt because you just pulled landscaping duty.
Sure did, Stephon Diggs, didn't you? Another one from Napoleon, or a.k.a. Hal. He just went, boy, the stuff he's going to be saying to Tyreek Hill.
Beware of Bobby.
God, boy, when Bobby gets out there to Tua, what? That's what we're going to hear. That's what we're going to hear when old Hal gets out there. What did you say, Tua?
You can trouble me for a warm glass of shut the hell up.
You just have a little nice warm glass, huh? Coming up, we're headed to West Palm Beach. Sean Pendergast will join us. We'll get all the latest from Astros camp coming up next.
It's Taquerias Aranda.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well.
So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Sean, you done stepped off in it. Come on, Sean. Gosh damn it, man.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive, and we head out to West Palm Beach, and on the phone line is a man this audience knows very, very well. You can catch him every morning, 6 to 10 a.m., Payne and Pendergast. Sean Pendergast, who is live out there, and I am certain enjoying a good time out there. I believe you have, as Clint said, probably found him a local spot.
A little watering hole.
And to enjoy things, and we appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, what's going on, fellas? I actually have not found a local spot yet, but we went and bought some supplies last night. So for now, our Airbnb is the local spot, but we're about to venture out shortly. So there will be, I mean, it's Monday, you know what I mean? Like, I got to pace myself a little bit.
Hey, Pendergast, I saw your video. By the way, if anybody's wondering the digs, where these boys are staying out in West Palm Beach, you might want to go to Payne and Pendergast. Go to Sean Pendergast social media and check out the video. But Ron noticed that there's a lazy boy. There's a recliner in there. And look, here's the deal. I told him my best experience with the lazy boys after a super early morning duck hunt, getting back, having a little breakfast, and then just bellying up on one of those for a long nap. Have you bellied up in the lazy boy?
Oh, dude, as soon as we got here last night, we went to the grocery store. We came back, and and when you come to these places nowadays, you got to figure out how to work the TV. You know, like somebody's got to volunteer their YouTube TV account or DirecTV or whatever. Sure. So Parker threw his YouTube TV account in there, and we just started flipping channels, and we got to Court TV, and it was something about OJ. So we're like, we'll stop here. This looks good. So we got in the Lazy Boy, and we just watched some OJ show on Court TV, and dude, the couch they have here is incredible. It's a four-seater with recliners. It's a four-seater couch with recliner base. Yeah. Dude, with drink holders, it's incredible. Like, I don't know, man. Like, maybe like rainouts all week. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just it's, you know, I'll cry and act like, but man, it's a nice couch. But I was a little sad that we got rained out today. I'm looking forward to getting over to the ballpark tomorrow.
Well, yes, it is, as you are there, and it did rain out a bit today, but there's still some things happening before, you know, kind of things that we've been hearing today a little bit with Lance and others. What are you hearing around there, if anything, about kind of the big story we were talking about it Saturday up at Home Run Dugout? This is them bringing up trade talks potentially again with Nolan Arenado. What's the latest, if any, that you're hearing about that? How real is that, do you believe?
I don't know. Like I think Chandler Rome's pretty good at reporting this stuff, and he kind of poured a lot of cold water on it. But I think over the weekend he did. But I think at some point here, like the card, it just comes down to how motivated the sides are, right? I mean, like, the Cardinals don't feel like paying him. Arenado doesn't seem to want to play on a bad baseball team, but he's running out of good baseball teams to go to. So I know he's shut down the Astros a couple times, but not permanently. So Spillane is the one who seems – he was the one that was over in the clubhouse this morning, like, over there. Like, Seth and I are doing the show while he's over there getting audio. They do open clubhouse at like 8 a.m. here, so he's the one over there, and his vibe on it is he seems like way down on it happening. So I kind of hope it does. It'd be fun. It would add a little sizzle. It certainly, if it happened this week, it'd be a whole lot of fun. But he's, you know, they've got some big gaps in their lineup right now. They seem like right now, guys, like going after Arenado, and then they're like, well, just screw it. We'll slide Paredes to second, and we'll put Altuve in left field. They feel like that team that's just trying to get their five best offensive linemen on the field, and they don't care what position it is. Like, we just need as many good hitters as we can, and we really don't care how good they are at defense.
Well, we're damn sure familiar with that other sport there, doing dude. It, ain't we? Hey, what? Just in general, Sean, I know with the game being rained out today, obviously you didn't get to see any action, but just generally speaking, big picture, with the Astros, what are the two or three biggest things that you're things that you're most excited about getting, being able to lay eyes on out there in person?
Definitely hoping and praying we get to see Altuve play left field in a game, for sure. And that could happen Wednesday. Spo doesn't seem to think it's going to happen on Thursday because that's a road game. God forbid you travel to a game to go play left field. And then we're going to be here Friday too, but we'll be done on the air, obviously. I hope we get to see that. The thing that's most exciting to me, guys, about this camp versus 2 years ago when we were here, they had just won the World Series and they had signed Jose Abreu, and it was a very veteran-laden team that had virtually no spots for any young guys. This is a team now where, I mean, a lot of the spots are locked up, obviously. They're certainly a division contender. I don't know how big a World Series contender they are. But I am way more interested in some of the young guys in camp because I think there's a good chance two or three of them could be on the team when they break camp at the end of March. So that's the part me, like guys like Bryce Matthews and Cam Smith and, you know, some of the young pitchers like Gusto and Gordon who pitched over the weekend. I think that's the part that's really fun for me. And then obviously the new guys, Paredes and Christian Walker. It's a really, really intriguing spring training for sure.
And Sean Pendergast with us live in West Palm Beach on the drive. Sean, I understand it'll be fun to watch some of those guys. I still have some thoughts about some of the older ones, and in particular, one who talked today, and I'm certain you talked to Adam a little bit about the vibes he got there, yep. And that's Lance McCullers.
Better me in the age.
And I don't know how important he will be to this team, because you just can never understand when you talk about a guy who hasn't played, which feels like three seasons now. Yep. But what's the feel and the vibe coming from Lance right now? And do you get the sense like this is the most confident that the club has been about him actually pitching?
Probably. He's getting ready to pitch BP. Like they're starting the last couple of years where it's been Lance maybe coming back, it's felt like maybe the whole time. Like this is the first time where they've really started to kind of put some milestones together to feel like he's coming back soon. I think there's a lot more positivity around this comeback than the last couple in terms of just this actually turning into him coming back and pitching for the team. The thing that excites me about the McCullers potential comeback is that whatever the expectations are for this team, I don't feel like he's baked into any of them. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Fangraphs thinks it's going to be a three-team dead heat. I don't think they factor McCullers in. I don't think Vegas has factored McCullers in. The one thing that we know about Lance is when he does pitch, he pitches really well. I know he's been injured for probably the majority of his career at that, but he's probably been more injured than not since he came up in 2015 or 16 or whatever it is. Like he's missed multiple full seasons as a Houston Astro, but when he does pitch, he's excellent. So that's the part that excites me is like, okay, if now you get Lance, and I'm sure the text page is going to blow up about what an idiot I am. Every time I mention Lance, people shut me down, but but I choose to be positive about this. Guys, I'm easily sold to. You know what I mean? Like, hey, live bullpen? Hell yeah. He's finishing third for the Cy Young this year. Let's go.
Hey, Sean, we had talked to Will Kunkel in this year when he was down there the first week. Fox 26, Will Kunkel. And we actually had him on, I think, last year maybe, when he was down there. Anyway, my point being is just I remember him watching a couple of I think it was Hunter Brown and maybe a couple other guys in a live bullpen and just talking about how being there in person, just the ball coming off their hand, being right on top of them, just the wow factor, if you will, the power, if you will. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not there, but one thing that I would like to see is Cam Smith. You mentioned him a little earlier. You talked about the prospects. I did not realize. I guess I just didn't take the time to look at his size, his measurables. 6'3", 225 is an absolute horse on the diamond. I mean, yes. that is like I'm anxious to see, Sean, just like your thoughts on him. You know, some guys you see at 6'3", 225, you're like, that dude looks significantly better or bigger or he's just long and lanky. I'm anxious to hear just kind of what he looks like in person, stature wise.
Well, I will let you know when I lay eyes on him later this week, because I will be back on the drive for sure. But I can tell you this right now. He looks like he's chiseled. He's like a statue, Cam Smith. And what we need to have happen is for him and the new version of Jonathan Singleton to get into a fight to the death, like the Mountain and the Hound in Game of Thrones. Because have you guys seen these pictures of Singleton?
What's John Singleton looking like? I saw the back of him at the plate. Is he?
He's yoked. Dude, go look it up.
Let me see this.
He's yoked.
You're lying.
No, I'm not. Dude, we spent two segments on it today's show. He's yoked.
Come on, Sean. Like,
I wanted to get John going. Let me look him up. Yoked?
Look him up right now.
Let me look him up.
Hey, I mean, here's the deal. I mean, he clearly, I heard, and I think his wife may have even tweeted about it. I mean, he wasn't real thrilled with the signing of Christian Walker. So I imagine he had a little motivation to get out there and get right.
Well, let's calm down.
Okay, I mean, he seriously wasn't. He made comments like, hey, man, look, it's obviously not what I wanted, but it's a business. I got to just play ball.
He does look big. Looks like Dwayne Johnson in Pain and Gain. Yeah, he does look.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I'm telling you. Now, here's the thing, and I love Jonathan Singleton, but he can't get upset about the team going and signing an all-star at first base when he was the one playing first base last year. He wasn't good. He had his moments, but he wasn't good. So I hope he makes the team. He can be the next left-handed bat off the bench. You know, give a day off to Christian Walker, whatever the case may be. But it's funny. My first thought with Jonathan Singleton, when I heard about this regimen he's on, he's cut out all his carbs.
Come on.
He's heavy on protein.
Come on,
he's lifting. You know what I mean? And I'm like, my first thought was, man, I wish you were that way like in 2015, you know? Like, it's like.
I need to see more. I need to see more photos. You know? I need to see more photos. I just one. Sean, you need to send me some photos. If you
I haven't been there yet. That's the thing, guys. We got rained out today. I mean, I walked to the grocery store. That's all I've done so far. So I'm just giving you what I'm hearing and seeing on the internet and from Spo. But I'm telling you right now, this Singleton thing is real, at least in terms of the new bodybuilder physique that he has.
No, he is going to really pimp these singles.
No question.
He is going. I mean, the bat flips on these. Great. Oh, I cannot wait to see him. I want to see him. I want to see
him. Oh, dude, the bat flips with this new physique are going to be epic.
Oh my God, he's gonna hit that. I mean the bench. That thing's gonna fly all the way into the steps right there.
Yes.
All right, Sean, we appreciate you joining us and we'll talk to you some more this week. Enjoy yourself. Go find a local spot, man.
I'll check in with you guys when I do. Hey. I miss you guys. It was 2 weeks ago. We were all doing this together. I miss you guys.
Right. That's right. All right, that's Sean Pendergast. We miss you too. That's Sean Pendergast. Tyler's mouthing, he misses you too. Sean, that's Sean Pendergast, who is live West Palm Beach. I am really intrigued to see John now. I saw him at the plate in the game. I didn't notice him. I only saw him from the back. So we'll see. All right, 5 o'clock fire coming up next. We'll go over what we saw from the Rockets as they played two games, mixed bag there. We'll discuss that and some draft news from certain players out there. And the Green Bay Packers finally stepped up. And we're the big men to be able to make the complaint that I think the rest of the league wants to complain about. We'll discuss that next.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.